friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
No one is more committed to her craft than Mary Kay Cabot when it comes to the Browns. Is that true? Jeff, you believe me when I say that?
Well, yeah. What a bunch of stuff this guy is spewing, huh?
Hi, Mary Kay. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How you doing?
We are doing great, too. We read you every day in the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Make sure you're on board with everything that she has to say. And she always has great stories each and every day. So make sure you read her. Okay, Mary Kay, let's talk about that game. It's just such a weird game because the offense played good enough to win, and so did the defense. And yet, it just stares at me, that 17-16 score. Just your general thoughts on the game.
Well, when you say the offense played well enough to win, it did, but it also turned the ball over twice, and you can't do that. That negates all of the good things that you do. And obviously, those two interceptions were not entirely Joe's fault. I would say they were mostly the fault of the receivers, although that first throw, he was under complete duress on that throw. So it really wasn't necessarily anybody's fault. It was two guys trying to make a play and Jerry Jeudy diving to do what he could to try to catch that ball. But as he said, if it hits you in the hands, you have to catch it. They always say that, but that would have been a pretty tough catch under those conditions. Anyways, so down for down, yes, they did play really well. Joe threw the ball really well and did some really good things. But you have to look at the offense and say it didn't do its job effectively enough because it turned the ball over twice and only scored 16 points. So I just don't know about that. And then obviously the kicker. So there were four mistakes that cost them this game. Special teams, offense did not come through. The defense absolutely did come through for them in this game, but you all have to work together.
What did you think of the defensive effort against a real good offensive team?
I thought it was amazing. I thought they were absolutely dominant in that second half and really dominant after that first drive, which the Bengals caught them off guard with and neutralized Myles Garrett by running the ball so much. So that was a smart strategy, but obviously it didn't hold up for the Bengals. And the Browns came through, they took over, and to do what they did in the second half, allowing only 7 total yards, minus 18 in the fourth quarter, 3 points, 1 first down. You can't really ask for anything more than that, except to get a takeaway. That is the area that they weren't able to do exactly what they wanted to do and that they set out to do this season, and that is to take the ball away. So that's one place where they could have come through.
Give me something other than Myles Garrett that really impressed you, something that maybe you didn't expect.
I would say that the young guys did a really, really nice job. It's not that I didn't expect it, but you never really know how a rookie is going to perform in their first game, and especially against a high-flying offense like the Cincinnati Bengals. So I think you have to really give kudos to Mason Graham and Carson Schwechter for how well they played in that game. I also thought Greg Newsome going back into the starting lineup at outside corner did a nice job there. Now he's got to do that week after week after week. And, of course, you know that the Ravens are going to try to exploit that this week. But he held up really well in there, and that's good for him because he asked for that starting role again, and he got it. Not the way he would have wanted to get it, but he's back out there, and he really has a lot to prove, so good for him.
Mary Kay, our favorite subject, wide receivers. The plays that led to interceptions, clearly big mistakes. I thought Cedric Tillman had some nice moments. I thought Jerry Jeudy looked like Jerry Jeudy. I'm wondering if something happens to either one of those guys, this unit still looks really light to me. What do you think?
Well, I think that it's a work in progress. I think it's a young offense. Look at some of these skill players. You've got Isaiah Bond out there. You've got Harold Fannin out there. So I think as they go along, they're going to get better. I know they're going to get better. And then you've got a veteran quarterback that's going to be able to help these guys improve And what they need to do is they need to communicate more. I remember back when Amari and Joe were playing together in 2023, they were constantly texting each other back and forth and talking about things. And Amari was giving Joe ideas. And I think that, Jerry's going to have to do some more of that with Joe. I think he's going to have to really get with Joe and just start talking about things. Those two guys did not have the best game in the world together. And they need to work through that now, and they need to get it together as fast as they possibly can. But I think in general, this offense is going to be better week by week just by virtue of them growing together, getting a little bit older, more mature, more experienced in this scheme. This was the first time they put this scheme out on the grass. And I think the reason why it performed as well as it did with 290 yards for Joe Flacco is because of Joe and the way that he was able to hold it together with this young supporting cast.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Was there any talk, or have you heard any buzz about maybe auditioning new kickers today?
I haven't, but I would be doing it. I'm sure by the end of the day, we'll probably be hearing that some of them came in or see it on the transaction list later. I mean, I don't know how you don't bring in some new kickers, even if just to have a backup arsenal for yourself. So I would do it, and I probably would have a new kicker on the field on Sunday. I don't think that I would want to go into Baltimore. And it's going to be a hornet's nest in there. I don't think you want to have a situation where you lose another game because of an errant kick or a missed kick or whatever the case may be. So I would probably put Andre maybe on the practice squad or keep him on the roster if you have to. But I would be bringing somebody else in here this week.
Mary Kay, do you think Dustin Hopkins lost that job or did Andre Schmidt beat him out?
You know, I think Andre won it because the Browns have a youth movement going on right now, which we kind of just talked about. And I think they are looking at this year as an opportunity to transition to their second wave of their Super Bowl window that they want to get into. And I think they probably look at some of these young guys as key pieces of that Super Bowl window number two in this regime. And I believe that they were looking at Andre as that guy for them, as their potential kicker of the future. They have a lot of guys like that right now on this roster, and I think they wanted him to be one of them. And he might still go on to be that guy. They really, really like him a lot. But I think right now, in this moment, in this time, that they might want to look at someone else.
I'm wondering, I'm just trying to get your feel on this. Excuse me, if they walk into Berea yesterday going, oh, man, it's just same old thing. Like, we're finding ways to lose. And I also wonder what the Flacco factor is there, too. Because everything that I had heard when Flacco was here the first time was that, like, negative thoughts and not that he had changed just the whole feeling of the locker room. And I'm wondering if they're able to overcome the loss and be able to turn the page a little bit faster and try to look at things with, I don't know, in a new paradigm, I guess, is probably the best way to say, okay, this is not same old Browns, and we're not going to let it be. And we're going to move forward and see what we can do against Baltimore.
Well, when you have Joe Burrow coming out after the game and saying, we stole one, then I don't think you have to feel that bad about your entire performance when you watch it in the film room on Monday. I think that they probably felt really good about a lot of things. How can you not feel good about what the defense did? Again, they only allowed one first down in the second half. And they forced three and outs on six of the seven drives in the second half. If you keep up that kind of performance over the course of the season, you're going to win some football games. Once again, I've said this so many times until people are sick of me hearing it from me, and that is you can't lose the turnover battle and win football games. You cannot do that. And in this particular case, Joe pretty much stayed away from the interceptions himself. I thought that there were times where he just threw the ball away when he needed to. They played it safe at times, and that's good. That's what they need to do with him. He has to be somewhat of a gunslinger at times, but also somewhat of a game manager. And that was going to be the whole thing with him. Now the defense is going to have to come through and take the ball away. But I think that that is what this came down to for the most part, except for the missed kicks. Even if you did have the interceptions, but you make those kicks, you can still win the game. But moving forward, the defense has got to find a way to be in the right place at the right time, to have a nose for the ball. Some of these young new guys are going to have to be opportunistic and do some things to dig that ball out of there or grab some interceptions, because if the offense is going to be turning the ball over, the defense has to match it.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us from the plaindealercleveland.com. Devin Bush, Isaiah Bond had the offseason issues, Mary Kay, yet they were on the field in week one and we didn't hear anything from the NFL. Did that surprise you? And do you think we're going to hear something from the NFL? And will we hear something about Quinshon Judkins, or do you think we'll see him on Sunday?
Well, it's hard to say. Everyone is very mum about all of these issues. The only thing that I know right now is the NFL is interviewing Quinshon this week, and the other two guys are still under review, their cases. And sometimes you don't hear about the fact that their cases are no longer under review if they wrap it up. So I don't know if we actually will hear anything definitive on those or not, or if they will just kind of go by the wayside if they don't get disciplined. I mean, Devin Bush right now, he has still a pending court case in December. So, you know, that one is still an active situation, whereas Isaiah Bond, his charges were dropped. So, and I don't think the Browns are expecting discipline for Isaiah Bond, but the NFL conducts a very thorough investigation in all of these situations. I've also heard that Quinshon might have a pretty good case just based on some of the video evidence. But once again, we won't know for sure until the NFL wraps up its probe, which should be this week.
Mary Kay, last question for you. Thoughts on this Ravens game, especially knowing they gave up 22 points in that last quarter against the Bills and maybe a little shell-shocked on defense?
Well, I think the Browns could make it a game based on what I saw them do against the Bengals. And it just depends on how the Ravens are going to respond to this. They're going to be at home. They're going to be celebrating 30 years of stealing the Cleveland Browns out of Cleveland.
Don't you think that's kind of tacky?
Yes, I do.
It's very tacky.
I just think that they probably could have picked another week to do that. But anyway, so they're going to have that going for them. They're going to be fired up about all of that. So it depends on how they respond. The Browns are either heading into a hornet's nest or they are walking into a football team that is watching this Cleveland Browns film and thinking, geez, these are not the 2024 Cleveland Browns coming in here. So I think it's actually going to be a good matchup.
Mary Kay, as always, thank you very much. Appreciate it. And we will talk soon.
Thanks, Mary Kay.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right. She is Mary Kay Cabot. Make sure you read her every day in The Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com.
Hey, friends. It's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.